This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Welcome back, friends. I'm so glad you're joining us. This is episode 124, and I'm going to be talking to my friend Tabitha Panariso. She's a mom of two, soon to be three, with a background in counseling. She really didn't want to be a stay-at-home mom, and I wanted to highlight that because some of us stay home and love it. Some of us stay home and don't love it. Some of us wish we could stay home with all of our hearts, and some of us don't want to stay home even a little bit. And guess what? We are all good moms. In this episode, we discuss the grief process that she walked through, and she knows how to do it. She's a counselor. As she left the workforce, it's hard. She really wasn't super down with it at first. But I want you to apply it to any areas where you are experiencing a loss associated with motherhood. There's lots of different varieties of loss in motherhood. Even though we love it, there's loss associated. We also discuss how we misinterpret the way that God's going to handle us, which unfortunately changes the way we relate to Him, or if we relate to Him at all. We also talk identity, staying present with our kids, and what is actually required for us to be healthy. Before we start, I wanted to remind you that the registration for the Wellness Revelation small group that I lead opens on February 1st, so that's this Thursday. It filled up in one day last time, so I want to make sure that you are in it if you want to be. Follow along on Instagram or Facebook at Mom Struggling Well, or join the mailing list. You can find the sign up at momstrugglingwell.com and watch for info starting February 1st. And one more thing, I wanted to mention that me and Tabitha recorded this conversation in the summer when my husband and I had just started considering adopting kids again. So in this conversation, we were still a maybe on that. We have prayed a ton and sought a lot of counsel. And after all that, we've decided that at least at this point, we are not going to be adding kiddos to our family through adoption. But I didn't know that at the point. So when you hear that in this talk, just know that's not a thing that we're considering anymore at this time. So New Year's resolutions are great in theory. We are almost done with January, though, and I bet you've already let a couple things slide that you wanted to be part of your 2018. My goal this year is the same goal that I've had all of my responsible adult life. It's to eat more fruits and vegetables. Part of that plan is definitely going to be daily harvest. With daily harvest, I don't have to research recipes or spend hours cutting produce because they already did it for me. All I have to do is add liquid and blend it, or in the case of the soups, heat it up. In fact, this afternoon, instead of hitting the sweets like I like to do around 3 p.m., I blended up one of their plant-based chocolate hazelnut sundaes. I just added almond milk to the cup full of coconut, avocado, bananas, hazelnuts, and vanilla, and I had a really healthy and delicious sundae in about 2 minutes. When it comes to getting more fruits and veggies in, Daily Harvest is a no-brainer, stress-free choice. My favorite part is that they're stored in the freezer, so I don't have to worry that they're going to spoil if I don't eat them up right away. Daily Harvest is offering Mom Struggling Well listeners a deal. You can go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code MSW to get 3 free items in your first box. That's promo code MSW for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. That's daily-harvest.com. Okay, let's get going on my chat with Tabitha. Okay, will you go ahead and tell us about yourself, Tabitha? Cutest name ever. Love it. Do you like your name?
Oh, my word. I do like my name. I really liked being the only Tabitha at school. That was really great. So
yeah, do people try to call you like Tabby or something?
I hate Tabby, like with a passion, but okay. I go by Tab and Tabbers. Those are my two nicknames.
Tabbers, so. That's so cute.
I know, I love that one. I'm fond of it.
Okay, so tell us about yourself, Tabbers.
This question in general, well, I'm a follower of Jesus first, always first, and then I'm a wife to my husband, Ethan, and I've been married to him for, I don't know, almost a decade, which is crazy to think about. I'm a mom to 2 toddlers, and I just found out I'm pregnant with my 3rd. So
I know, I'm so excited. Yeah. Okay, so were you, you don't look excited.
I go back and forth. That's the problem.
Okay, so how old are the ones you have?
So my oldest is 3, and then my youngest is 19 months.
Wow. Okay. And you were not thinking to be pregnant this soon?
Well, we were trying, but I fully expected it would take a while because it's always taken us a while. So when it happens quicker than expected, I was like, oh, I wasn't emotionally prepared for this.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's exciting.
We're thrilled. Yeah, we're thrilled. I mean, it's just intimidating thinking about three children. That's just a lot. So
I've heard that's like a really big jump from two to three.
I've heard that from one to two is realizing that you don't have any time to yourself. And then two to three is that there's no way that you can please everybody at the same time. And like, it's more schedule and routine. I don't know. We'll see. It's
you
an experiment.
Sure will. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an experiment. I know. With humans. It's so scary.
I can't remember.
I have two.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. We're considering some more, but I'm really ambivalent about it right now. Because some, like you said, like some days I'm like, nope. But you know, the problem is what I do is that you just don't fill out the paperwork because we adopt them. And so I did email and I am going to some classes. So that's big.
That's a big step. That's huge.
Yes, it is. I feel nervous. It's very much on my mind. And every time though that I pray about it, everything I'm seeing in the Bible is about the fatherless and the orphan. I'm like, oh, for heaven's sakes. Oh, for adoption's sakes. Can you just let up? So anyway.
I thought I almost convinced my husband that adoption was the way to go for like a fourth kid. Because I was like, it's in the Bible. Like, this is like a holy thing to do. He's not convinced.
He's not convinced.
No. So
I think it usually takes guys a little bit longer.
I think so.
Our pastor just did this whole big talk on adoption and foster care and how, you know, we need to be the solution as the church. We need to actually do the things. And so I think everybody in our church is like, that's it. We have to adopt, which, you know, obviously we don't all have to adopt. But anyway, I took it to be like, oh, maybe we do. I have to.
This is a sign.
Okay. So I want to try out a couple new questions that I did not prepare you for. I just get tired of my same questions. So
I love your questions.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm sick of having them come out of my mouth. So I want to try a couple new ones.
Okay.
So who would you say is your hero? I've been preparing a talk on like generational friendships and and just like finding people to model our lives after. And so I thought I would ask you that question.
That's a really hard question. Really hard.
Who's the first person that popped in your head?
Honestly, the first person who popped into my head was my
friend. Don't say me. Don't just say me.
I mean, it's obvious. It's so obvious. I'm sitting in front of my hero right now.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry. So awkward. No. Oh, what were you going to say?
So I have a friend that I met while I was school counseling, and she's older than me, but we've just hit it off so well, and she's amazing in every single way. So I would say she's my hero. She just is like passionate about her job, and she's passionate about her family, and she just seems like she's thriving in every part of her life, and God is present in every part of her life. I just learned so much from her. So
Oh, I love that.
She spends time with refugees on the weekends, and she opens up her home on a regular basis to people, like with no, you know, second guessing. She is a servant-hearted person, and like she does it without grumbling. It's just her heart. And so I don't know. I want to be like her when I grow up.
I mean, I think, in fact, in the talk I'm giving on generations, like I said that, like, who do you look around in your life and go, I want to be them when I grow up? And obviously, sometimes they're just more mature and they're your same age. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily that, but do you think she was always like that?
No, I know that she used to be rebellious. Like, she has had like this crazy intense journey growing up in the church. Like, I think her parents were missionaries, but there was definitely like this big rebellious period. I think what's so great about her is like, she's so anchored in who she is. Like, her identity is cemented and like, there's no questioning, you know, it's not that she knows that she's not perfect, but the way that she walks and carry herself is just admirable. Like just strong and sure.
I love it. Okay. And I do want to talk about identity because you actually really love talking about identity too.
I do love talking about identity.
But I have to try out my one other new question. So your dream job, like your whole family gets taken away by aliens. You can do whatever you want.
No, thanks.
I'm just, I don't want to be like grim, like you have no more family. Or they're all like at the amusement park for 10 years. I don't know. If you woke up tomorrow and you had 10 years to do whatever you wanted.
10 years.
Job.
You know what I think would be really fun is to get an Airstream or like a big bus and just travel, like, and go wherever I wanted. Is that a job? People are making that a job. They're like Instagramming it. Yeah. So if I could do that, I totally would.
Where would be the first place you'd head? Somewhere in the mountains.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go anywhere except but stay in Colorado. So I say travel, but really I would just stay in my same state.
Okay. So are you from Colorado? Or are you a...
No, I'm not. I'm actually a military brat. So I grew up living all over the place.
But Colorado is just the place that you love.
Yeah. My mom retired here. And so I ended up here, fortunately. And then I just never left. It's just gorgeous.
Do you have a Subaru?
No. I promise I don't.
Because I think that's a requirement in order to have a driver's license there.
Yes, I do have a four-wheel drive, though. And okay. I carry a Nalgene, which I feel like is a Colorado thing.
Of course you do. You have Chacos?
I did, but then I actually wore them so much that I broke them. So that's kind of impressive.
That is impressive. I just got rid of my pair from college, and that was like 15 years ago.
That's way more impressive.
Yeah. Anyhow. All right. Well, those are my... So what do you think of the two new questions?
I love it. The job one is hard. I don't know.
You said the hero one was hard too, though.
Yeah.
So...
Immediately, I want to say like, well, Mother Teresa is my hero, but yeah. Realistically, there's so many heroes. And like, I love everyday heroes.
On. I think that I will make the caveat, like, you can't say Jesus and you can't say... Corrie Ten Boom, like you say an actual person. So, all right. Thanks for testing those out with me.
Of course.
Okay. So you talk a lot about identity and that the majority of our problems seem to come from not getting a solid concept of our identity.
Yeah.
And you recently said something I really liked. You said, we go to self-confidence, self-help, but we're stopping too soon. Those things have value, but there's something deeper. So tell me about, when did identity become like something you wanted to start learning about?
Well, I think I mentioned it, but I don't know. I was a former school counselor and I worked for 10 years just hustling after that dream, like wanting this career and getting my master's degree and spending all this money and time and effort. And so it was great achieving that and working that job and loving it for the years that I was there. And then I had my children. And my husband's dream was for me to be a stay-at-home mom, which we actually initially didn't agree upon when we were married. And that was kind of a contingent between us.
You disagreed on it.
Yeah. Could not see myself as a stay-at-home mom at all. Yeah. It was not like in the plan whatsoever.
What was your biggest problem with it?
I think because I had my identity in my job, I think my worth was in this like doing and performing. And I sadly then just saw stay-at-home moms as not doing anything. I mean, truthfully, I just didn't really grasp the work or the heart behind it, you know?
But he kept wanting that and you, did you decide to stay home before you felt like it or did you feel like it and then stay home?
I felt like it and then I stayed home. So God did like a major work in my heart and my husband really didn't bring it up that often. And then when we finally started having kids, it was like this immediate, like, yeah, I want to stay home. And so I went from full-time to part-time and then from part-time to quitting my job. So God kind of eased it on me a little bit instead of, you know, just quitting right away. But I mean, I did grieve. Like the decision to go from full-time to part-time, I remember sitting with my husband just crying and just not really grasping like who I was going to be and like, am I going to lose myself to this? Can I still be Tabitha if I'm not working and doing?
So can you be?
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's scary. Like I remember, it's scary.
It's terrifying.
So being that you have had some counseling background, tell a listener, what's a healthy way to grieve that then?
That's a good question. I mean, I definitely think that you have to grieve and you have to lament it and you have to feel the feelings. And obviously that looks different for everybody. I'm a crier, so I cry and I vent and process. And I do it with somebody who I know isn't going to fix it initially. So I'll have to tell my husband, like, I really don't need you to fix this right now. Because that's, you know, his initial response. And then something that he's taught me is that living in grief is not healthy. And eventually you have to make the move from grieving to taking a step out of that and giving it to God and saying, okay, like what's next?
Because I know that you can not grieve fully and then have like this low grade sadness forever that doesn't go away. You know, like you've got to, because I'm medical. And so I know like you've got to get the infection out or there can't be healing. But I know that if you don't actually get it all out, you're still going to have that grief. And so I'm just wondering, is there like a way to trigger that if people aren't willing to go there because they're afraid?
Maybe writing. I think that's a great way of just putting your fingers or your hands to something and allowing yourself to process without putting a boundary or a wall up and just going, like setting a timer for 5 minutes and writing it all out. I mean, that's what I did. Or just talking and talking and talking, you know, depending on what kind of person you are.
What about knowing when enough's enough? How did you know when you were done? Did you just feel done?
I mean, I think I felt done. And I also took cues from friends and family who kind of like, okay, you know the answer to this. Now you're just kind of sitting in it. So people who could hold me accountable. I think there's a difference between being defined by grief and allowing yourself to move forward. And then if triggers happen, then that's fine. That's normal. Like you're going to experience that, but not seeing that as like a step back into it and just knowing that that's part of the healing process.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I just think that it can just linger to where you're like, this is the new normal. I'm a stay-at-home mom and my life is miserable.
Yes. I think that I've had it come back before, you know, where I would find myself like, okay, what do we do today? We're just going to stay in our pajamas. And it's funny, I think, isn't it interesting how health always requires some kind of action or movement towards something? So, you know, on those days where we just didn't leave the house and I could feel that lingering, like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. All it took was a shower or getting dressed or going outside and going to a park or getting out and making that move.
And that the longer you don't do that, the more it feels like you just can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You just are stuck. Ugh.
We're going to pause just for a moment so I can tell you about one of this week's sponsors, Fabletics. Fabletics is fashionable, premium activewear at a great value. And they make fantastic leggings that you will love to work out in and also grocery shop in and watch TV in. Fabletics has a VIP membership and you can shop without it, but you're going to save a whole lot if you're a member. You'll get 40 to 50% off retail and rewards points for free stuff. Every month, Fabletics releases new styles. You just hop on, decide what you want, and buy it or skip it that month and pay nothing. They have camo print leggings that I really love right now. But if you see something you like, you really better hurry up and get it because some styles sell out really quick. Go to fabletics.com/MSW today to get two pairs of their amazing leggings for just $24 when you become a VIP member. Seriously, these are the world's best leggings. They are a $99 value and you'll get two for only $24 when you join fabletics.com/MSW. That's fabletics.com/MSW. Okay, so you do a lot of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought your dream job would be something about like author to the world or something. Is there any part of that that I know for me, some of my projects that I do can be escapes from motherhood. Mm-hmm. Is that a part of it for you or not really? Or does it just, is it more like a processing?
It's like all of it, I think. It's really unhealthy when it's an escape because I write a lot on my phone versus, you know, on my laptop or whatever. Okay. So I can use it as an escape. And so I have to really filter through, like, why am I writing this? Why am I spending time on this? You know, and what am I putting out there? Which is why I don't really write about motherhood a lot because it just feels so raw and like tender. And so it doesn't seem like it's coming from a good place. It comes from a messy place, you know?
Yeah. So you mainly write about what? What would you say is your main themes?
Oh, I hate this question too, because I just don't feel like I have a niche, man.
Okay. Do you want one or are you fine without one?
I'm fine without one. I write a lot about just faith, like my journey with God and just discovering more of who He is and my processing through it. So it is a lot of processing, but it seems like a lot of people resounds with what I'm writing about, you know, as far as like the day-to-day struggling with like regular questions and just trying to go deeper and being vulnerable as a believer. Cause I think we're just used to believers not being vulnerable in their journey. And so I want to be somebody who's willing to process out loud and talk about the hard things about being a Christian in today's world, I guess. So unfiltered faith, I think, would be my niche if I had one.
Hey, that's a great niche. I like it. Have you always been someone who felt comfortable questioning God? Because I know a lot of my listeners they don't even mean to be listening to a podcast about God. And so I had a girl, I don't remember her name, but she said, I have been keeping that I listen to this show a secret from everyone because I don't want anybody to know I listen to a podcast about God. But in the process, she accidentally learned about how great God thinks she is and started to learn that she thought God was pretty great too. And hold it, I think I might be a Christ follower. And so I know that everybody's at a different spot on the spectrum of belief and with the Lord. And so I just want to ask, like, why do you ask questions? Why do you feel like you're comfortable talking about all these questions in front of God for someone who feels like, hold it, that maybe seems inappropriate or I couldn't actually let anybody know I don't have it all together. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm fine with that, obviously, but not everybody is.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's really cool that people are coming to Christ through listening to your podcast. That's amazing.
It is the biggest. Amazing. The other day, I was watching Netflix with my husband, and we never watch TV together, so it was like such a special moment. And if you can call that. And I got on my phone a picture of a girl who just got baptized. And she goes, I just got baptized because I learned about God on your show. And here's a picture of me getting baptized. All of a sudden, we were both sobbing. Me and my husband were like, oh my gosh, God, you're so good.
That's so wonderful. It's oh like my gosh.
The best thing I ever, who knew me hating motherhood?
Because God redeems all things. So why not that?
Sure. I know. So anyway, why is it okay to question God? Where did that come from? Why do it in public and not just by yourself in your journal?
I struggle with that actually because I think sometimes I take things publicly that need to be dealt with privately. So trying to learn the boundary of that is hard. Like there are some things that I don't talk about because I just feel like I could lead someone astray. And so I want to be really careful about that, that I don't say something that isn't biblical or right. But I've always just been, it's not about me. Christ died for us because we're messy and imperfect, and he doesn't expect us to know all the questions or the answers. And when you look at the Bible and you see the people in the Bible, all you see are people who are messes and imperfect, you know? And like you read about David in the Psalms and all he does is question and beg God for more, you know, why can't we? Like, why can't we be at his feet? And I just think even being a mom too, like, I don't know if you felt this way, but like, it really is so sanctifying, but it's also because it really shows you the relationship, like what is possible, like how God loves you. And my desire is that my kids would always feel like they could come to me and ask a question, any question, you know, and know that there won't be shame in that and only love, and that I would sit down and like take the time with them and walk them through that. And we're human, imagining our love for our children and then applying that to God's love for us. Of course he wants us to come and talk to him. Of course he wants us to question. And I just think for so long, I don't know. I mean, I grew up in a Methodist church and then I switched over denominations later on in my life. And I felt like it went from really clean to more raw and real. And I feel like the older I get, the more raw I see faith, you know, that it's not something to be boxed in. And I think we can't question God, it's because we have this idea about him. We've put him in a box. He's big enough that he can take anything that we throw at him. He can handle it. So yeah. It doesn't matter what we say.
No, you're right. And he knows it anyway. So. Yeah. I mean, even I think as my daughter is 9 and just the sadness I'd feel if she had like a really big thing going on and didn't feel comfortable to bring it to me. It would be like, I wish you knew that you could have come to me. But some of that is being a safe person to come to. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I don't know. I just don't always like what they do. And so I have opinions and feelings about it. And so to hold those close enough to the vest, you know, and like be walking in the spirit enough that when they do come at me with some crazy sideways stuff, I can still be safe so that they can come to me. But yeah, it's just important that we can come to the Lord. And I think some people, especially new in their faith, they don't want to open the Bible because they feel like they're too big of a mess. But if they open the Bible, they'd see that they're just in good company. Everybody in the Bible's a mess. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to that identity part. Like, you know, when I said that we stop at the self part, it's because we forget to look at who God is. And I think a lot of times our misinterpretation of how God is going to handle us or deal with us is the source of why we feel like we can't spend time with him. If we knew and believed that he was good and that he loved us no matter what, and that he would heal us from all things, like, then maybe we'd be more likely to sit as at his feet and open the Bible.
I mean, because I think I used to feel like, oh, I'm doing my quiet time wrong. I'm writing in my journal wrong. I'm reading my Bible wrong. I just felt so much condemnation that you don't want to hang out there, even though none of that's from him.
Right.
You're just making a bunch of stuff up.
Yeah. It's easy, though, to like think that's real and be like, well, I'm a bad person because I can't do these things, you know, yeah. Or I miss church because my kids were horrible getting out the door,
Okay. So you said that you struggle with being present. You tend to be an overanalyzer. What do you think is your biggest fear? Like, why all the analyzing?
I think it comes down to failing and just not being good enough or accepted. Like, I'm not a good enough mom or a good enough cook or a good enough wife. Like, I just feel so flawed all the time, you know, like I'm not performing the way that I need to. And that's like my biggest hang up on my bad days. On my good days, I'm like, I can do all things. You
know? Yes. Yes. Is there something that like tips it from a great day to a terrible day? Cause it's just so weird how sometimes you can feel like a great person. And then the next day it's like, right now I'm like in a kind of a tricky spot where I'm like, hold it. I'm sure I was fine a couple days ago. I can't see any of that now.
Yeah.
For me, it's like eating well. If I'm not eating well, it's bad.
And you work out too, right? You're doing a lot of Revelation Wellness.
I am. I don't love working out. but for me, if I'm not supposed to say that probably.
it's the That's thing taboo.
It's the thing that I have to make myself do. But for me, I know that like I'm valuing myself when what I'm putting in my body is good. So I can tell kind of how I'm feeling about myself by what I'm eating.
That would preach, because I mean, that goes for everything, right? Like what you digest on social media or what you digest in the news and, you know, even the conversations that you're listening to. And like, I would hate myself for telling myself this if I were on a bad day, but because I'm on a good day, I can say this. And I would say it's choice, you know, that we really do have the choice to choose to work out or choose to eat healthy or choose to go for a walk. And I mean, I hate to admit this, but some days I kind of like to wallow. And I'm just like, I'd rather just eat pizza rolls and watch an episode of Big Brother or something than, you know, deal with having to be empowered. Like sometimes it's just too much work, I think.
True. No, yeah. You're right. And something they always say at Revelation Wellness is like, it's a get to, not a have to. But some days everything feels like a blasted have to.
Yeah.
So you just don't.
I know.
Like, if I don't have to, I'll show you.
I'm in charge of my own life.
And I will destroy it however I
Maybe it's like just control, right? It's just another way of controlling our lives is by choosing unhealthy things.
Yeah.
Because I think that goes with being a mom too. Sometimes I feel like I don't have any choice in my day because it's all about what my toddlers want. And so if I can choose, then I'm like, all right, bring on the pizza or bring on, you know, whatever. Not that pizza's unhealthy. Maybe it is. I don't know. I just really like pizza.
Hey, you're in a pizza place. It's right. So good. All right. What is your favorite way to take care of yourself as a mom of tiny kids and pregnant?
Just pregnant. I don't want to pretend like I'm bulging here.
You haven't eaten love pizza though. I'm just
kidding. Yeah, I do. I really love food. It's weird. I really love donuts. That's not self-care, though. I feel like that's the opposite. It used to be, it's so weird, it changed since becoming a mom. So I don't know if anyone else is like this, but it used to be like introverting and finding alone time and, I don't know, putting music on and painting or something would really rejuvenate me. Okay. But now I'm finding that I really love being around people. And so like, you know, meeting friends at a coffee shop or going for a girls' night out or even just having time with my husband at the end of the day, like that rejuvenates me, like that presence with adults versus kids, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm weird in saying that. And everyone's like, no, go hide in the bathroom, which I do like to do that too. I like to take bubble baths, but.
Right. Well, but I think that before kids, you have a lot more adult time. And so then when you have kids, there's so much less of it.
Yeah. Like no real conversations except, you know, will you clean my butt, please? And, all right.
Yeah. It would be my honor.
Yes. Let me do that for you.
Again. Just did it, by the way. Oh my gosh. Okay. So what is something that you can't stop talking about?
I really do love my letterboard, for real. And it's not like the brands that everyone
Right.
Has bought. So
those are very expensive.
They're really expensive. So I had to find another option. But the one that I have, I love. And I'm such a fickle person.
Okay.
I don't have a tattoo, but do you have a tattoo?
You know, I've had two that were not good ideas. And so now they're no longer with us.
Oh, okay. They've died. All right.
They've died. But see, that's I totally want a third one.
Oh, okay.
But my husband said, no. You have a bad track record. So you don't have a tattoo because you're fickle.
Yes, I'm just too fickle. And I feel like I would do the same thing. Like everything is meaningful for a season. And then 2 years later, I'd be like, I hate this. Like, this is not where I'm at in my life. It needs to define who I am. And I'd end up with like a whole sleeve.
I know. Can I tell you how bad I want a sleeve? Oh, but I know. Then I'll get tired of this type of flowers or whatever, or this color. And then I'll want like a whole different sleeve. I don't know.
You would totally rock a sleeve. I am envisioning it right now and it would work.
I totally want one.
You could, this is, okay, you know how you always talk about free advertising for moms struggling?
Yes. Well, right?
You could just tattoo the logo down your arm and then people would be like, tell me about that.
Tell me more about that. And then when I want to change my logo, which I want to do like every year.
Yeah, even better idea.
Okay.
How about investing in temporary tattoos for moms struggling? Well,
ew. You're so smart.
And then sending those out to people who are listening and everyone can wear their own tattoo.
Oh my gosh. It's brilliant. Okay. Well, thank you, marketing department. Yes, I appreciate you.
I do that on the side too for my husband's real estate business marketing.
Oh, I was like, you make fake tattoos?
Oh, no, I wish.
Like,
no,
I don't. Wow, I had no idea. That's so cool. Okay, so you said, but you have like a couple letterboards.
I have two.
You have two. Why do you need two different ones?
Because you need words everywhere, of course. I just like words everywhere to remind me how I'm, you know, they're mostly scripture or quotes or whatever's my fancy at the moment.
I only like funny things. That's all.
This doesn't surprise me about you. I was really intimidated about talking to you because in my head I was like, I just don't think I'm at the level of funny that I need to be.
Oh my gosh.
I'm serious. I'm accidental funny and you're just naturally funny.
I think it might be an accident. I would agree with that.
No.
Has it been intimidating? Have I been scary?
No. The closet helps.
The closet helps, yes. I know people are so afraid and they get off the phone. They're like, oh, I'm so glad that's over. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't feel like I'm intimidating. Like, I don't feel like my eyebrows are being like angry or.
I think it's because I'm a writer. I feel like I have more control over the written word. And when I speak, I black out sometimes. And then I'm like, I'm really hoping that turned out okay. And I wasn't a jerk.
You weren't a jerk.
Okay, then I'm glad to hear that.
weren't a jerk. I was going to say something about letterboards, but I can't. Oh, I was afraid when I got it that I wouldn't ever change it because I thought it would be too hard to change. Yes. I had a friend who said, I put letters on the one time and then I never changed it. And so I was like, oh no, I had no idea how hard it was. I change it all the time. It's like my
favorite. Yeah, like weekly. What's on your letterboard right now?
Right now, it says something about chocolate is from the cocoa tree, which makes that a plant, which makes chocolate salad.
Yes, I love that quote. That is perfect. I love it.
I just did it last night though. Yeah.
See, I wouldn't be able to walk by it without thinking I need to change that today. Like I would make time for it in my life.
It's a priority.
It is a priority.
And I think also when you have kids, you can put their stuff that they're saying on it and it's really fun.
Yeah.
Also, my son is trying to learn how to read. So I put his name on it and it like freaks him out. And he's like, I've got to sound this out.
Oh my gosh. I feel like children reading will just be like the most incredible mom moment ever.
It's the worst because then they can read your text and you can't spell stuff about like, I don't know, should we get I-C-E-C-R-E-A-M? They're like, ice cream, you know, gosh.
50% of our conversation is spelling out loud.
Yeah, so enjoy it.
Okay, good to know. My husband will start spelling words, extra words, and I'm like, why are you making this so hard for me? Just say the word that you need to.
That's so funny. Just spell pizza, but don't spell do you want to go to. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Awesome. He's not an excellent speller either, so. Oh,
See, that was kind of mean though.
I know. I'm sorry for throwing you under the bus, babe.
Just when you thought you weren't mean. I love it. All right. Well, Tabbers, I just had to say it again.
Tabbers. Do it.
Thank you for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. This was an incredible honor. I feel like I'm sitting across from my everyday hero.
Oh my gosh. After I told you that that's who it was. Yeah.
So let's get down to business. How the heck are we going to apply all of the goodness from what Tabitha said so that we can struggle well this week? Let's talk about grief in motherhood. That can't possibly be a thing, right? Motherhood is a dream come true, isn't it? It sure is, but it's also a nightmare at moments, if you're honest. So if there's a part that keeps coming to mind where you think, oh, I thought this part of being a mom would be so different, maybe set aside some time or a season to let yourself grieve it. I'm feeling more liberty these days to share that my relationship with my sweet daughter has been really intense for both of us. I really do believe it's in part because I truly envisioned having a daughter would go very differently than it has. It's not her fault, it's not my fault, but I had to get honest about it so that I could make peace with it and get to the point that I could embrace the really cool girl that she is and not accidentally have unrealistic and unfair expectations of her. So give yourself the freedom to get brutally honest with trusted friends or your husband, probably not your kids, and then, like Tabitha said, maybe write out the grief. My friend Laura suggested to me that you can write out what you thought motherhood would be like on like a river rock with a Sharpie and throw it in some water. It's just a really practical way to say, hey, this expectation is heavy and it's a weight that I'm done hauling around. I was recently actually in a class where we were assigned to carry our worries around on labeled rocks everywhere we went. We did it all week, and I'm telling you what, it's very real that our troubles can weigh us down if we let them. It was not fun. So maybe you write that stuff down on a rock and get rid of that weight if concrete practical exercises are helpful to you. Or maybe just journal about it, like Tabitha said. Maybe this week your strategy to struggle well could be toward health. One action is all that it takes to get pointed in the right direction. My one action, and it kind of seems silly, but it was a big deal to me, was that just today I threw away the Nutella. I'm the only one in my house that eats it, and I eat way too much of it. So it's in the trash now, with some still in it, and I'm very likely not going to dig it out. I'm not going to dig it out. It's hard, guys. Maybe this week you talk to God about how you think he is going to deal with you if you're completely honest with him. I think you'll find that if you look at the way God deals with people in the Bible whose hearts are for him, you're going to find that you don't have to shy away from him with your honest feelings. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strengthen," another translation says, "strongly support those whose hearts are completely his." That is such good news, ladies. Our complete desperation for God and our brutal honesty with him will yield his strong support and our strengthening. What? Kind of just makes you want to run to him and tell him some things, right? I hope you'll do that this week. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Oh, Lord, we've got this enemy, and he wants to make us believe that coming to you is a really bad idea. God, help us see past that this week and bring our junk to you, knowing that we will receive mercy. We will receive your strong support. We will receive a strengthening when we come to you with our whole hearts. Lord, I pray for the mom who is feeling really helpless in her current mothering situation, where the grass is greener, the stay-at-home mom wishes she could get the heck out of the house in some business casual clothes. The mom who has to get up early every morning and drop her kids off at daycare wishes she could just be in pajamas watching Sesame Street. Lord, I even love this podcast, and I wish I could go back to school and become a nurse practitioner sometimes. It doesn't even matter, Lord. We are just kind of all over the place sometimes. Number one, thanks for still wanting to talk to us. But number two, Lord, this week I just ask that you would help us to absolutely treasure where you have us, even if it isn't our first choice. I pray that these mamas will get brutally honest with you this week. Amen.